What's really going on? All right, happy Monday to you, y'all. Welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and man, I'm telling you, man, what's going on with this weather? What's going on with this weather? I'll tell you, Saturday and Sunday, let me talk properly here. You know, it's 70 degrees, almost 80 degrees. Not today. It's barely getting over 35. What's really going on with this weather, man? I'm telling you, I see, but for those that are going through with the colds and the allergies, hey, you have my heart out to you, man, because I know it's a hard thing out there. That's for sure. Oh, man. All right, man, I'm telling you, it's Mad Monday today. And, of course, basically it means open conversation. You, the caller, decides what we talk about, how long we talk about them, and the topics, and, hey, we just go with the flow. Just go with the flow. That's what it's all about on Mad Monday. Now, if you want to be a part of that conversation, no problem. Just give me a call, 347-838-8622. Join me in our chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. Or you can send me an email at ericlesstalk@gmail.com. Or just stop by the Facebook page. Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. All those ways you can be a part of the show. If you send me an email or stop by the Facebook page, trust me, I see it and put it on there if that's what you want me to do. Or you just send me some information to use on the show. I can do that too. All right. So those are all the ways you can participate today. And we welcome everyone. We turn no one away. All right. We don't turn anyone away. Unless you call in here acting crazy, then we just don't turn you away. We kick you out. I know. I hate to say it like that, but it's so true. So true. That's what we do. So, you know, I'm just letting you know that we're going to run through the rules real fast. Oh, should I wait for the rules? Yeah, we're going to run through the rules real fast. Here we go. No, we'll wait. And the ones I really need to hear and aren't here yet, so I'll wait on them on that part of it. All right. Well, other than that, that's all we got going on today. Now it's time for me to bring this lady in, my co-host, and that really adds some spark and pizzazz to the show, and that's why she's my co-host, and full of knowledge. So without further ado, y'all, here's my co-host, Sister Ngoni Ow. Hey, Sister Ngoni, how are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful, Eric, and yourself?
I'm doing good. I am doing good. What kind of... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said that's good to know.
Okay, so how's the weather up there in Tampa, or down there in Tampa, however you want to look at it? Y'all got any cold weather?
I heard you crying, so I hate to bust your bubble, but it's a fantastic, marvelous, sunshiny day today, and yesterday was too.
I know, it's crazy. Like I say, Saturday and Sunday were beautiful days. I mean, beautiful. You know, then all of a sudden today it won't give up, barely get over 35. I don't know what's going on. This supposed to be Texas. Weather supposed to be similar to Florida. I don't know what's really going on, but somebody need to talk to somebody and get some heat back up in here.
What? Have you heard that the poles have shifted 40, I think it's 40 miles towards Russia or something like that? It's been a while since I read that information, but I definitely read about the poles shifted.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You think
well
might have bearing on the changes that we're seeing in the way. And don't forget, Eric, we're moving through, we've already crossed galactic center. We went through the photon belt. The highest light of consciousness is there. Then we crossed galactic center, and now we're moving through the Milky Way galaxy. And you expect to have the kind of weather you want every day? Are you kidding me?
Why? You get to have the kind of weather you want every day. Why? I can't have it.
No, I don't.
Okay,
I don't. You need to settle down. You need to get a hold of yourself, bro.
Okay. All right.
We're not in charge of that department.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, since you put it that way, I guess that makes
yes,
sense.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You take what you get, whether you like it or not.
Oh. Oh, all right. You are so funny today. You are so funny. All right. Well, it's good. See, it's always good to start off laughing because, you know, sometimes we start off the week all upset. So it's good to start off with a laughter, with laughter. You always have fun. Always have fun. All right, y'all. Speaking of laughter and fun, y'all ready for your music today? Now, the music today, it's nice. Okay, it's nice. It's not going to have you up and dancing per se, but it probably have your head bobbing a little bit, which is good. It's good. Just give you that feel-good feeling. You know what I mean? And no, that's not one of the songs. I should have came up with that. But anyway, so without further ado, man, what we going to do now, we're going to bring y'all the Monday Music Mix. So I hope y'all enjoy it. And here it is. I guess Y'all, that was your soulful Monday mix. I'm telling you, I told y'all it's gonna be nice and mellow, but yet you're gonna be bobbing your head a little bit. For those who don't know, you had the Temptations, My Girl, Marvin Gaye. I heard it through the grapevine, the Isley Brothers, Caravan of Love, and of course the Mighty OJs with For the Love of Money. I'm telling you, and that was pretty good. I'm telling you, nice and mellow, but enough to get your head bobbing. That's what I'm talking about right there. So that was your Monday mix, and I hope you all enjoy it. Yeah. I know. Oh, co-host, what do you think about that? Was that all right today?
I think that was definitely soulful music, and yes, I enjoyed it immensely.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the regular music director will be back tomorrow. You know, she wasn't feeling well, so she had she let me do it, so. That's why y'all ain't get y'all normal music mix on Monday. But it's all good. See, we in the act, so it's good. I can handle it when she's not around. All right. So, what we got going on now? We got the Black History Moment. Y'all know every day this month I'm going to give y'all a Black History notation or note or whatever you want to call it. I'm going to let you know about somebody, African-American or Black, that did something that you probably didn't know. And you know what? Here's a person right here. It's a woman. And you know what? I guarantee 99% of Black people don't even know she exists. She existed, should I say. You know, and that's really scary. Now, I know all of y'all heard that song, The Yellow Rose of Texas. I know the ones who live in Texas that heard of it. Well, this song was written after this woman right here, and her name was Emily D. West, and she was also known as Emily Morgan. Now, apparently, this woman here, basically, what did she do? Well, she had to help the Texans win the War of San Jacinto in just 45 minutes. In 45 minutes, how did that happen? Well, she went to whatever. She's a free woman of color born in New Haven, Connecticut. And she was contracted to James Morgan as an indentured servant to work for 1 year in Morgan's Point, Texas, at the new Washington Association's hotel as a housekeeper. Well, several months into her internship, West and other residents were kidnapped by the Mexican cavalry. West was forced to travel with the forces of General Antonio Lopez de Santa Anna. Now, everybody in Texas know that name pretty good. As they prepared to face the army led by Sam Houston, whose the city of Houston was named after, and was the Mexican camp on April 21st when Houston force attacked. The Texans won the battle of San Jacinto in 45 minutes. Now, I know you're asking, like, well, how did she help the Texans win? Where during the time the army was going on, she was having sex with Santa Anna, thus keeping his mind occupied while his troops were out there getting attacked. So that's how they came up with the Yellow Rose in Texas, because she was very bright skinned, or as they called her, yellow mulatto, and thus the song Yellow Rose of Texas, because she helped the Texans win. And thus forth, and everything else went on the way and ended up in history. So that is what Emily D. West, also known as Emily Morgan, did. And she was a Black woman. And that was your history moment. I know. Some of y'all going to get upset. And, you know, here's the thing about it. You know, as I reading, and, you know, the same thing, as I researched, the same thing kept being said. However, why don't we hear about this in history, in our Black history? Now, and you know the funny part about all the whites in Texas know it, the majority of them, but why don't the blacks know about her? Was it because she was having sex at the time and that really don't count? I don't know. Texas named a song. They got a song after in the state of Texas. Something had to happen pretty good. I don't know. Maybe I'm just talking out the side of my neck. But anyway, that was your Black History Month. Y'all believe it? Go and look it up. Emily D. West, also known as Emily Morgan. It's right there. So that's how the Yellow Rose of Texas came about. And she was a black woman. And that's your history moment. All right. Woo! I'm telling you. The things you find out when you really look for knowledge, huh? Oh, goodness, goodness, goodness. Sister Ngoni, what you think about that?
Well, believe it or not, Eric, I've heard that story before. My neighbor, an 80-year-old immigrant from Spain, told me that story last summer.
Oh, wow.
He told me, yeah, he sure did.
Great.
He told
great.
Me about, yes. But I had never heard it before that, though. I'd never heard of it before telling me about it.
Right. Like I said, I never heard of it before until today. This weekend when I was doing some research. So I'm like, wow, okay. Didn't know about that one. But it's amazing.
And this, go ahead.
Oh, I would say it's amazing, though. You know, because Black History, every year during Black History, you hear about the same old people over and over again. But, you know, this woman here, she supposedly helped the state of Texas form. And, you know, they don't even have her in any of the Texas history, you know, books. So, and I mean, that is just crazy right there. You know, and that's why I say we need to expand our so-called Black history to everybody, not just the ones that certain people consider a positive influence, because that's what they think. Of course, that's just my opinion, though, like I always say. But, hey, that's the way I feel about it. But anyway, what you were about to say before I started running my jaws?
Oh, that's okay. It's gone now. It's all right. It wasn't.
Oh, yes, it was. But it's okay.
No, really. No, it was a tidbit, sidebar thought.
Oh, that's always good. That always is.
Well, I think what you said about us not knowing the history, that's our responsibility, and I think it's great that you're digging down and bringing us this information that, you know, that's not shared in public or, you know, in school books and things like that. But I think it's just, you know, always going to be up to us. There was a quote, and I know I'll mess it up. It's something about it's an African proverb that says, until the lion writes its own history, the hunter will always be right.
Mm. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, if you messed it up, it don't matter. It sounded good the way you said it. Oh, my goodness. You know what? That is so true. That is a very, oh, man, I like that. I like that. Until the lion writes his own history, the hunter will always be in control. That's what you're saying?
The hunter will always be right. Same thing,
right.
In control.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Now that. Ooh, okay. You know what? I'm not
going to.
Huh?
And I was going to say, and Eric, and what was the message that our ancestors in Kemet left for us on the walls of the Great Pyramids, the Pyramids of Giza? Man, know thyself. Didn't say wait for somebody else to teach you about yourself. It said, man, know thyself.
Wow. Maybe that's the problem. We waiting on everybody else to tell us who we are. Oh, we have allowed them to tell us who we are for so many years. We just done guaranteed. We just done fell into the groove that's who we are. We're not going to be anything better. Oh, you know, we're not going to be anything better. But I'm here to tell you, y'all, there's much more to us than meets the eye. And like Sister Ngoni say, you know, hey, if you get to know yourself, you'll be surprised at what you find out. But I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sister Ngoni. I'm sorry. I'm just running off at the mouth again.
No, it's okay. I was just thinking, you make me think about, okay, now I've got to bring Malcolm up. Because, you know, like
okay.
He said, okay, We didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us. So, you know, we'll get it together. Eventually.
Mm-hmm. Eventually?
Mm-hmm.
Well, hopefully it won't. Well, see, me and you done had this discussion before. I say hopefully it won't be too late. Basically, it's already too late. You say, nope, there's still a hope. So hopefully. Hopefully.
I really like the word hope because it's been crucified, and a lot of folks are disappointed, you know, about that word now. So how about confidence in humanity to rise to the occasion?
Okay.
We're going to be forced to do it anyway.
Are we really?
Oh, absolutely. Universe don't wait on us. The universe, you know, points us where we need to go. You know, that's how diamonds are formed, right? Pressure.
Mm-hmm. Right. I got the pressure. Okay. I'm with you. I got you. All right.
Do
well,
you
know what? Huh? Go ahead.
Do you have a train passing by?
Yeah, just roll through.
Okay. Thought it was Beasley on the
line. I don't know. He may be listening. It may be in his train. I don't know. He may have been going by waving at the time. Let me stop. Oh, no, that was I claimed that train there. That was my train at the time.
All right. And one more last thing before we move off of this history.
Yes, ma'am.
Item.
Go for it.
Did you know what the word hypnosis means? Literally?
No, I don't.
Hypo means suppress or under. In Latin,
mm-hmm.
it means under. Gnosis means knowledge, so that's suppressed knowledge. Hypnosis.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow. Okay. Suppressed knowledge. I like. Oh my goodness. See, when you learn stuff like that, it kind of opens your eyes just a little bit more. Like, okay, all right.
Yeah. Like.
Wow.
When you think hypodermic. You know, it's pronounced, you know, anything hypo means under, like hypo under the skin or suppressed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Wow. Okay. All right, y'all. See, y'all just got some knowledge, some more knowledge. I'm telling you, man, we be putting it out there, hoping y'all be taking notes or paying attention. Of course, sooner or later, we're going to come back on it again, but it's usually better the first time around. All right. So, co-host, Sister Ngoni, are you ready
yes.
for the quotes? We done got deep into our black history. You ready for the quote of the day?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right, let me cue you in, and then you bring us some more knowledge. Here it is, y'all. I know it's a little late, but it's still here. Your quote of the day.
The man who makes everything that leads to happiness depends upon himself and not upon other men, has adapted the very best plan for living happily. This is the man of moderation, the man of manly character, and of wisdom. That's by Plato.
By Plato. All right.
Yes.
Okay, but they say Plato was a pretty deep man, so let me see if I can pick up on this one here. The man who makes everything that leads to happiness depends upon himself and not upon other men, has adapted the very, very best plan for living happily. This is the man of moderation, the man of manly character, and of wisdom. All right. You know, there's a lot of things come to mind when we start talking about this quote here. But before I start throwing my 800 cents in, I'm going to let you take a stab at it first, my beautiful co-host, and we can go from there. Because I have a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it just seems to be, you know, indicative that a person who seeks to be happy should be self-sufficient and not dependent on others. And you can say that in very, you know, many facets of your life. You know, not you don't depend on others to tell you what to think. You don't depend on others to take care of you. You don't depend on others to lead you where you need to go. And you don't depend on others to make you happy, because happiness is something that if you can't find it inside of yourself, If you're seeking for it in external places, you usually don't find happiness. You usually find trouble. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So when it says the part about man of moderation, the man of manly character. Now, that part right there, I was reading this weekend about relationships, and it was talking about how we're affected by institutions and by, you know, stereotypes and all that. So I think manly, of manly character, I mean, you can talk about that, you know, because I think what passes for manly character today is not what he's talking about.
Hmm. Okay.
Go ahead.
No, I'm saying you're coming, you're breaking in and out. Now I was trying to see where you're through. I was about to ask, what do you think they meant by man of manly character then?
Well, I can't really say what they meant. All I can do is reference what I observe today, and I don't think that's what they meant, though.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because today, it's, you know, men who want to control and dominate and have power over others is what, in our modern society, I think is what's elevated as manly character, which I don't think that's what Plato was talking about. But I really don't know. I didn't get to talk to the dude.
Oh. Well,
and
you
last,
know what?
Go ahead. Last but not least, wisdom, of course, we all know, is to gather knowledge, to overstand knowledge, and wisdom is to take right action.
Hmm. Okay. I like that. I like that.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what you know if you don't do the right thing about, you know, in regards to.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean, that's how can you argue with that right there? You know, how can you argue with that? That makes a whole lot of sense. Boop, boop. Uh-oh. Are you still with me?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I know it got quiet on me for a hot minute. All right. Well, you know, when I was looking at that, when you first read it, you know, like I said, a lot jumped in my mind. And so as I read it again, I had a couple other things just pop in my mind as well. And one of them was, you know, when he said the man who makes everything that leads to happiness depends upon himself. Now, I may have went at it from a different point of view than what you went at it, but basically what I thought about was the Black Wall Street, you know, Norm, Carolina, you know, most Black neighborhoods before integration happened, we were doing our own. You know, we were, and the thing about it, this is another thing you won't learn a lot in Black history. We were mainly had most of the industry and stuff going for ourselves, and we owned it. We had the resources, you know, but once integration hit, oh man, you know, we became a target for everybody else, which in turn did what? Diminished what we had and led us to the shape that we in now. Oh, and that's where I get, this is the man of moderation, the man of manly character and of wisdom, because after a while, and basically what you said, the men start becoming men. You know what I mean? They started becoming sheep and following instead of leading, thus leaving us to right where we are right now. Of course, that's my take on it, but that's what I'm going for. So,
well, Eric, you march and you demand rights from another man, then what do you expect to happen?
Well, true that, true that. But see, once again, that's the point. So that's what I got out of the quote of the day. Hey, Antoinette, that's what I got out of the quote of the day.
What do you mean that's the point? Oh, because you were talking about Black Wall Street and having your own.
Right. We had our own at one time. And I know there's some of them that argue and say, no, we didn't. Yes, we did. We had our own. You know, we were self-sufficient.
No, you didn't. You didn't have control. You thought you did, okay? But your land had already been taken over by another people. Okay, you can't. You can't be free.
But see, at one time we didn't. Land wasn't taken over. At one time we did have our own land.
Oh, okay. What do you? You're referencing a time that I'm not aware that we must be not thinking about the same time period. Because you mentioned Black Wall Street.
Right.
Was that your land in Black Wall Street?
Well, some of that, yes. Even up until the late 50s and 60s, we still had land in some places.
No, sir. You didn't. You thought you did. When I'm talking about having your own land, I'm talking about in control of the land you stand under, not that you purchase from somebody else who has the monetary system that allows you to purchase it. That's not owning your own land. That's just thinking you own it.
Okay, well, if we put it in that context, then nobody owns any land, not even the people
exactly.
who think they own it. Yeah. I mean, if we're going to place it in that context, yeah.
The concept is crazy anyway. How can any man claim to own the earth that's supposed to be shared by all of us?
Right.
See, like I said,
when you put it in that context, yeah, nobody owns the land. However, if you go back to, you know, well, like we are today, somebody owns land. We did have our own at one time where we actually owned it. We know what wasn't belonging to anybody else. It was owned. Of course, you know, once, you know, we got so sophisticated and intelligent, you know, and money hungry, and fell into the conniving schemes of this fiat cash. I know you like that word, don't you? You know, that's when things started going haywire. So that's what happened. And like I say, once that started going on, that's when men really start becoming men. And it really, God dang it, I just had the word in my mind. When it really got bad was when we decided to become segregated or integrated, because then, you know, it just went the other way. Men weren't all being men anymore because they were subservient to another man, which is, should never be, never be. Of course, that's just my take on it, but that's the way I feel about it.
Well, I respect your take on it, and we could talk on this topic for another week and argue the point back and forth. So
it's Mad Monday. Ain't nobody else calling, so we might as well go ahead. Speaking of that, y'all, it is Mad Monday. So whatever you want to talk about, give us a call. All right, 347-838-8622. Make them phones hot, man. So. If not, me and my co-host, we can carry the show. We can talk about anything. We good like that. So, all right, y'all. The lines are open. Whatever you like. All right. Anyway, back to what we was talking about there, co-host. Go ahead. I know you was about to say something.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, since you say that we owned land up until what time period? Did you say the 60s?
Yeah, I say around the 60s.
Okay,
even later than that, in some places.
Yeah, but in some place.
Yeah, in some places, not everywhere.
I don't agree with you. And
okay.
The reason I asked was because I want you to define what you mean by ownership.
Ownership, as in... it's yours. You don't owe anybody else. You didn't get it from anybody else. It was yours from the get-go. And there were some prominent black families that actually had their own. And some, as you call it, they said back then, some middle-class families. You know?
Okay, where'd they get it from?
Where did they get it from? Well, a lot of them some of them came and settled on that land.
What you're talking about, what 60s? 1600s?
No. Okay, if we go to 1600s, we go to 1600s, 1700s.
No,
no, I'm not. Okay, if we want to go back that far, then it still says they settled on that land. Their forefathers and what have you settled on that land. In some instances, they never gave that land up until the 60s when all of a sudden it became more profitable to sell it than to keep it up. And, you know, behind the conspiracy or the chaos that was caused by integration, that's what happened. But in a lot of instances, we had land from back far back as the 1615. I could probably go back a little further than that. But we did have land up until that, you know, before this money thing became such a big part of life as we know it, or the American dream, as they like to say.
Okay. Well, what I'm trying to point out is that actually there was people here. We didn't all come over here on any slave ships. We agree on that? Or
yes, right, we agree on that. Right.
People on the land. Our difference is just basically the time period that you're referencing as far as ownership. And that's why I'm saying, in my view, you thought you owned some land during that time period, but you didn't. Now, if you want to go back to before Europeans came over here, we had control of the land and cultures, lived their own way of life. But if you're talking about Black Wall Street, they looked prosperous, but, you know, they had their own banks, dentists, doctors. I'm not saying they didn't do a good thing. I'm just questioning the idea of ownership, that's all. So, you know, maybe I'm being too technical about the whole thing. I don't know. I have a habit of doing that.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know what, though? Here's what I'm about to say. We're basically talking about the same thing. Like you said, we just basically saying it in a different way, kind of, sort of, you know, because what you're saying is even though Black Wall Street existed on their own side of the tracks, per se, you know, they still had to answer to somebody else. That's what you're saying, correct?
There you go. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Okay.
See, sometimes, you know, we discuss things, and I hear businessmen talk about, you know, hey, you can go do whatever you want to do. All you got to do is, just believe you can do it and go do it and this and that and the other, but you still got to go downtown and get permission from some other man. So we're discussing the quote of the day, right? The man who makes everything that leads to happiness depends upon himself and not upon other men. Has a very best plan for living happily. This is a man of moderation, and of manly character, and of wisdom. So that's where I'm coming from. I'm still looking at the meaning of the quote.
Right, right. And
so it's not enough to say something just because you thought you purchased something when you really just exchanged some fake fiat currency to have the right to use it and to be a tenant. You really didn't own anything. That's all I was trying to say.
Okay. All right. Yes. I see where you're going and I was talking about just straight out owning it before all this money. And I think that's probably where things really started going south, is that fiat currency, or money as we say today. You know, because not only changed man's character, but wisdom basically went out the door, because it was everybody get as much as you can and take what you can, and everybody else is, you know, just out in the cold, basically. I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but, you know,
yeah,
that's,
it makes sense.
That's it.
It makes sense, but see, there's not been any allodial title on the lands here, because King George chartered the 13 colonies, and you know, that was a contract with the international bankers. So even when there was gold, you know, there wasn't really a allodial title, because the people that took over these lands didn't have a right to do that, did they? So, you know, how can you own something that starts off in fraud in the first place? See what I'm saying? There's nobody going there with you, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stuffing people on the line now.
Yeah, but nobody wants to say anything about it. But you know what? That is a good point. But even though we look at it now and say it's fraud, it was fraud, and it still is fraud, there are still No one is still questioning that until this day. Some of them still have that same land that they acquired through fraud, you know, and nobody still to this day is questioning that that purchase at all. You know, it's just something that runs, is given from generation to generation to generation, which in the case, in a lot of black families, that was being done up to a certain time when all of a sudden, you know, it was more prominent to go after the American dream, which basically included a lot of money and, you know, cars, and instead of, you know, we saving stuff for the next generation. And, you know, that's where it went south at. So whether we got it through fraud, whether we got it through fraud or somebody, we got it through inheritance, it still came out the same way. Either way, we had it at one time. That's what I'm trying to say. Oh. We had it at one time. And through certain situations and circumstances, it happened, huh?
I got my white flag up, okay? How about we do this? Can we agree to say that at one time we had control of our communities and were prosperous?
Okay. You know what? When you put it that way, I'm in total agreement with you. That's the
right
point I'm trying to make. That is the point I'm trying to make.
The meaning of the mind.
That's why I love you. I tell you, we get there eventually.
All right. I'm not going to say that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. What did you say? You broke up anyway.
No, never mind.
Ah, don't be scared. Don't be scared.
No. You know, I've been peeling the onion this weekend and working on piercing the corporate veil.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Piercing the corporate veil. That's what I'm talking about. You know what? We forgot to give our shout outs in the chat room. And I see it has filled up quite nicely. Antoinette, my chat room coordinator, is in the house. The Boo One, enjoying life. That mad scientist from the galaxy, galactic scientist, is in the house. Oh, man, we got a whole bunch of guests. And OC Aquarium, welcome to the show, y'all. I hope you're enjoying it. You know, that's all in the chat room. Of course, on the line, man, we got quite a bit of people on the switchboard, too. Hey, so today is Mad Monday. What y'all mad about? What you want to talk about? Huh? Give us a call, 347-838-8622, or email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com, or you can join us in the chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk, one word. All right, so now that we have beat on the quote of the day quite nicely, let's get on to talking about something else. Hey, did y'all know we have another debt ceiling crisis 17 days away? Did y'all know that? Can y'all believe we're about to go through that all over again? Isn't that crazy? But why haven't we heard a lot about it this time? Why haven't we? I think my co-host has a very nice explanation why we haven't. Truth Will out in the house. So I'm going to let her give her take on this. Where you at, co-host?
I'm here.
Okay. Now, we talked earlier. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Now, I have to say, we talked earlier about this, and I really enjoyed, you know, what you your explanation of it. So I want you to share it with our listeners.
Well, I think it's a lot of ballyhoo about nothing, like it always is when they put that crap on television to get everybody all shook up and in fear. And it's just theater to keep the people thinking that they have some voice or some say in what's going to happen, and that's it. What's being decided is being decided at the Federal Reserve, which is not federal, as most of your audience knows by now, I'm sure, if not before. They're making the decisions about what's going to happen here, whether the interest rate is going to go up, whether the place is going to shut down, whether they're going to do quantitative easing to infinity. And let's talk about that word, quantitative easing. You know, think of being thrown off of a balcony and somebody's trying to help, you know, slow the fall down.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Now, well,
our illustrious leader said that when they raise the debt ceiling, that doesn't mean the debt goes up. But, you know, that's kind of a oxymoron, you know.
I have to say, in that case, then why even raise it? Let it stay as is, right?
Well, they have to raise it because, see, that's how the international bankers strip and loot a country. They do deficit spending.
Mm-hmm.
And one has to leave office with more debt than the one that preceded him.
That's how that works.
So
huh?
They're just playing with our minds. That's
mm-hmm. Now, I understand that. However, I think there's some employees out there, some workers out there that's living paycheck to paycheck that would disagree on you that it's just basically political finagling or posturing, you know, because when they shut it down supposedly shut the government down last time, you know, it hurt some people when they got laid off. I mean,
What did they do? What did they do? They spent more fiat, didn't they? Meaning they borrowed more from the Federal Reserve.
Well,
they didn't save any. They spent more, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
So like I said, they do deficit spending when they're looting a nation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. You know, that's the technical side of it. But I know a lot of people thought, we ain't trying to hear that, you know. But you know what I did, I think it was a clip you sent me at one time about, you know, that the deficit and all that is really, as you said before, it's really not anything that's real. You know, it's just make believe because there's no way there really could be a ceiling on the debt of a country. If I think that's
well,
that's
that was Mike Maloney, if I recall. Mike Maloney
right.
is the clearest man I've heard explain what going on. He really breaks it down, Mike Maloney.
Yeah, that's what it was, Mike Maloney. Yeah, I mean, because he broke it down so easy, I'm like, wow. And, you know, basically, it makes you really question, you know, why you even put your money in the bank. It really does. And I kind of see why back in the day, old folks just take the money and put it under the dang on mattress or bury it in the backyard somewhere.
You don't have any money, Eric.
Okay, I could agree with you on that one. I don't have anybody. You're right. But you understand what I'm trying to say. Quit being technical right now. You understand what I'm trying to say. The theory and the thought of them saving their money by not putting it in a bank, you know, at least they can say they had something, you know, in case everything went belly up, which...
Something for a short time if everything goes belly up, because if you recall back in 1933, people were lighting up cigars with $100 bills. So it doesn't matter how many of them you have under your mattress. When it collapses, if it collapses, and I hope it doesn't, then it doesn't matter how many of them you have. They're worthless. So what they're doing is they're contracting the money supply and devaluing the purchasing power of the private Foreign Federal Reserve note. And a note is a promissory note, a promise to pay someday. Okay?
Yeah. Okay. I understand that. But, you know, there are some people that to say here in the near future that the economy is going to crash. I mean, it's inevitable. You know, that is going to happen. So if we know that now, of course, everybody like, probably not. It just probably do what they did last time. But if everything is going, continues to go the way it's going, eventually something is going to have to just drop, correct? Something's just going to, the bottom going to have to fall out eventually, because you just can't keep making money just to make more money. In other words, I know that sounded crazy, y'all. I know that
they
did, but.
Currencies, what you meant
right,
to say?
Right, yeah, that's it.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen. The experts say that we are at the end of the road, that we've gone 40 years past what every fiat currency ever to be on the earth at any time prior to this. They say we've gone 40 years past it, you know, where it should have already collapsed. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess it could happen. I mean, you know, I don't know.
Say it could happen.
Studies.
I guess say again?
They had somebody do a scholarly study on fiat currencies and how it has affected the nations that debase their currency. And they started off with the alphabet, and I think they had over 200 nations just in the letter A, and every last one of them eventually collapsed when they went to fiat currency. So they didn't get to B, C, D, E, and F, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay, you know what? And I'm glad you bringing all that up. So I'm ask you this question. So how have we survived so long on this fiat currency then? How have we made it work for so long, even though we have gone past the so-called expiration date of this type of currency?
I don't know. You have to ask somebody that knows more about it than I do.
Okay.
Maloney can explain it. I put that link in the chat room for anybody who might be interested in wanting to know.
Mm. Okay, that makes sense. Oh, I see somebody with their hand up. We must have sparked on something. But let me bring them in and see who we're discussing this with. Hello, 111. Welcome to the show.
Hey, what does fiat currency mean? How do you guys define it?
Well, the way I define it, the way I understand it, it doesn't have any precious metals backing it. It has no value except exchange value.
Yeah, pretty much. What my co-host just said.
And who are these people that know what's going to happen in the future?
The prognosticators, economists, the many economists around the world.
Oh, you got Dr. Jim Willey, you got Max Kaiser, you got Professor Hudson. Those are people that are speaking about the situation from an alternative perspective, not what we get on television. Then you got Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. You got Dr. Jim Willey already?
I don't think so.
Yeah, Dr. Jim Willey. They speak about it, you know, from a different perspective than what we get on the regular news, like you're talking about. Now they're throwing the debt ceiling at us again. See, these people I just named, they don't talk about it like that. They talk about it from a different angle.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, you there, Mr. B?
I'm here.
Galactic Science has a comment. It says, because the consumers actually believe the currency has value, our monetary system works off consumer confidence. Yeah, that's why they say it works. The dollar is backed by the good faith and something else of the American people. The good faith and what else? The other one, Eric? The good faith and something of the American people.
Okay.
The good and something.
Good.
But it's really backed on our labor.
Oh, okay. All right.
The good faith and credit.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Beasley. How are you doing today, Mr. Beasley?
I'm all right. And it is basically backed by our labor because the government issues the currency, which is a debt, but it is used as a medium of exchange, and the government has the authority to tax income that you get from your labor. That's why it's important that the credit rating, and that's why it's important that they raise the debt ceiling so they can stay current with their bills. Because when your credit rating falls, then the value of your currency.
If that's the case, Beasley, I'm sorry to interrupt you like that. If that's the case, then let's just go and start another war and make them take our money. Our currency. We didn't done it before. We did it before, and we continue to do it. So why not continue? That's the way it's worked forever.
He tried about 4 or 5 months ago in Syria. They'll find another reason.
Well, you know, in Syria, yeah, you're right. You're right. But once again, you know, that was a ploy. But they accomplished what they wanted to accomplish, though.
Maybe not. Maybe, you know, he wanted to go in. I don't know.
Yeah, they did accomplish what they wanted. But hold on, let me bring go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Bring someone else in.
I'm bringing Vernon in. You know, we don't get to talk to Vernon that much. So let's see what wisdom Vernon has for us today. What's up, cuz? What's going on?
What's going on, everybody? Eric and Tony, Beasley. Eric, now you asked the question that pretty much answers itself. How have we survived this long? You think about it, regardless to the financial situation, the economical situation in this country, they still have a power in the world as far as military. You know, one thing that always proves to be that's gonna top over a lot of things, that is the strong survive. And as long as we got the type of military we got and things we have, we can go into the other countries and take what we want. I'm going to say we, because I'm a part of this country just like you and everybody else on this phone here. But but as long as we got the power to do those kind of things, who's gonna bring us down?
Mr. Vernon.
How are we going to fall?
Mr. Vernon.
Yes, ma'am.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine.
That's good. Do you think we gonna continue to get away with this forever?
No, we won't get away with it forever. But because, you know, every dog has his day. I believe in that saying that too. Every dog has his day. So just like all the great kingdoms and empires and whatever else might have been, that they fail. The same thing goes for this country right here. One day they will fall, and they know this. But at the same time, you know, they taking what they can get as long as they are in the position to take what they can get.
Well, you kind of answered your own question. Who is going to stop it? So, you know, we got blocks of nations now forming their own trading blocks. They're not buying U.S. bonds. They're buying up, or that's not the right word. They're taking control of companies, corporations in this country because of the debt that's owed. See, so things are changing. So you know, the history you gave is true. That is how they got everything they got over here, by swindling other people. And see, you have currency wars going on. And after currency wars, you get trade wars. That's going on. The Baltic Dry Index dropped last month very low. That's an indicator of bulk products, you know, for manufacturing. We don't make anything here anymore. So you can see that we're headed in a not such a good direction, you know.
Angoni, we you know, we talk against bullying in schools and any little form of bullying that there is, but the truth of the matter is our country is one of the biggest bullies there is out there. Our government is one of the biggest bullies there is out there.
Oh, I agree. And that's why I put I didn't say the last part of that was after the trade wars, then there's hot wars. And the international bankers always start hot wars when they loot a nation, when they're taking one nation down, and then, you know, who knows what their next plan is or who they're going to rise up. You know, they created communism. They made Russia strong. They made the United States strong. They made Great Britain strong. That's the way it works. So they move the power base around the globe.
Hmm. And, you know, here's the other thing, Vernon. You know, a lot of times when these other countries or what have you start talking about closing their central banks, and you can go back and double-check this through history, that's usually when they start a war.
Well, you know, Putin did that. Putin just did that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's always a bigger plan behind the little things we see. We just have to be.
I agree. I was just speaking on the last 40 years that we survived this thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I heard him speaking about the last 40 years, you know. We've been. Go ahead, Eric. I'm sorry.
No, I just want to say, add on to what you said, you know, you did answer your question when you said we are the biggest bullies in the world. I mean, because basically that's what we do. We don't like it. We go into your country, we take what we want, and we so-called change their mind, but we just make it do what we want it to do. That's all.
That's right.
I mean, let's be realistic. I was part of the biggest gang in the world. You know, I was part of that. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. You was untouchable.
Yeah, you know. You know. That's right. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, a lot of people now are talking about LaRouche Pack and other scholars and historians. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts is another one. They are concerned that this time it's going to be nuclear because they've already declassified nuclear weapons. They've used depleted uranium in Fallujah, and they are afraid that they're going to be forced to go nuclear because of the fact that the economy is so stressed, you see, that they don't, you know, we don't make anything here. You know, if you think back by World War II, you know, you got Ruby the Riveter because they needed all the women to go into the factories because all the men were sent to war, right?
Right.
Well, now there's nowhere to send Ruby the Riveter, okay? She on food stamps.
Okay. That's true. That is so
true. You know what I think?
See, the key thing to keep in mind is the international bankers always finance both sides of any war. And the party that supposedly wins the war has a responsibility to rebuild that they destroy. So it's a win-win for the international bankers, either way it goes. Okay, Mr. Beasley, I'm done.
Seems like there's a whole industry of experts that earn a lot of Federal Reserve notes and buy a lot of property that they don't own and probably live very wonderful lives speculating on what's going to happen on the future. And it seems like the more extreme, and I can tell you this for a fact, none of them know what's going to happen in the future. Nobody can accurately predict the future on a regular basis. There seems to be a huge industry, because I don't know who any of those doctors are, and not that they're not smart guys, and not that they don't have a lot of information at their hands, but there's an industry of people, and there's a market for people that listen to these people that don't know shit about what's going to happen in the future. They're guessing, okay? And they do it with a lot of fancy talk, and they can take a lot of statistics and facts and try to lead it somewhere, but they don't know what the hell they don't know what the hell's going to happen in the future. They really don't know.
Sure, you're right, Mr. Beasley, but we do
and
have
history. That's why
history.
I don't listen to them, because they don't know shit.
Okay, I'm sure you're right, and I certainly wouldn't try to predict the future by listening to someone else or either for whatever reason. However, we do have something called history. And so we can look back on history and we can know for a fact that it's been repeated many times that you have first currency wars, then you have trade wars, then you have hot war. So that's an indicator of things that may be coming in the future. And that's what they're talking about. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, and anybody's guess is the next guy's guess.
Hmm. Interesting. All
right. Guess. I said there's an industry of people, and they make money. They make these Federal Reserve notes that nobody seems to care for. I still like them. Regardless.
Okay.
So what do you suggest?
Pardon?
What do you suggest?
What do I suggest?
Yes, sir.
Live day to day. Try to enjoy your life. And try not to speculate and worry about what's going to happen in the future.
I'm not a worrier, and I hope you're not worried by the conversation, but I am a person who likes to know, to the best of my ability, what's going on in my environment, because to me, to just throw caution to the wind and be happy day by day says that I would only care about myself, and it doesn't matter what happens anyway because I'm powerless and you can't know anything, and I don't buy that.
I didn't say all that. All I'm saying is that there's an industry of all these PhDs and doctors and scientists and whomever else that have these theories about what's going to happen in the future, and they don't know.
Nor do science, but you believe in science, do you?
I believe the only thing I know for sure is that nobody can accurately predict the future on
I
a
agree
regular 100. Basis. That's the only that's the only thing that I really know. Everything else I can question it down to where I'm not sure of it.
Okay, but what I'm asking you is, do you think it's worthy to take time and energy to know about science?
Yeah, I guess it's worthy to energy to take time about science, but is it worthy for me to read what these people who are in it for a profit to listen to their hyperbole about
not if you don't want to, Mr. Beasley, but what I'm trying to ask.
Let me finish my sentence.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
I don't think these people are credible. I think that they're in a industry that plays on people's fears, or that use their standing and their credentials to make people think that they know what's going to happen in the future when they don't, and the more sensational that they paint the future, the more popular or the more attention they're going to get for themselves, the more books they're going to sell, the more seminars they're going to sell out, the more newsletters they're going to sell. I think it's a racket. I think it's a business.
That's interesting that you said you hadn't heard of any of the people that I named, Professor Hudson, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, Dr. Jim Willey's investment advisor, Max Kaiser also.
I think I've heard of Dr. Jim Willey, but I don't put any stock.
Finish. Please let me finish this time. I didn't interrupt you. So
yeah,
I just wanted to make the point that if it's not worthy of giving any attention on what's going on in the world, and that we should just not talk about those things, then it's the same thing with science, because science operates on theory.
No,
you can't prove.
I didn't say that.
I didn't say you did. I was just asking you a question.
No, well, you're telling me what I said wasn't worthy, or you're suggesting that I'm saying that it's not worthy. If that's what someone chooses to do, that's fine. I just don't give them any credence because they don't know what the hell's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah, I got it, and I think that's fine that you choose to do that, but I think it's fine also to be curious about what goes on in the world. So we are
I can be curious about what's going to happen in the future, and I can take my own data and information. I don't need them necessarily to guide me and to speak matter-of-factly about the future. These people don't know what they're talking about. They're just
How do you know, Mr. You said you never heard of them, and you
because
listened to them. How would you know that?
Because I've watched these so-called experts be wrong over and over and over and over again.
Okay, so that makes you an expert on the expert.
That doesn't make me an expert at all. I didn't say that I was an expert. And I'm not out there selling information and putting out newsletters and giving seminars and selling books. I'm just saying that these people have made a business out of predicting the future, and with all types of scenarios that they don't know that's going to happen, and it makes people speak about these scenarios matter of factly, like they know this is going to happen, and they don't know.
Well,
false,
I haven't heard
false.
Of.
They're false prophets is what I'm saying.
I haven't heard any ones that I named speak
matter of fact. They're false prophets.
I haven't heard any of the ones I named speak matter-of-factly about it. They're drawing on their knowledge of history and their experience in the world. That's all.
Hmm. All right. Well, you know what I got to say to that? I say, you know, whether they're or really know what they're talking about or not, you have to learn to discern which one is telling you the truth and which one is not. Or what you can do sometimes, like I do, read all of it and just put it in perspective among yourself from what everybody, each of them says. Sometimes you get a true picture that way instead of just depending on one point of view from someone. That's just the way I do it. But let me bring Maze in. She's been waiting patiently, and let's make this happen. All right, Miss Maze, welcome to the show.
Good evening, everybody. I was saying like Rome fell, and I'm almost wondering if the people that was invested in the country that built up after Rome fell, were they invested there, or they just let everything go to the slide and just let it be? Say like America falls, their currency falls, and you were invested in another country that's built up. Are you losing anything, or are you gaining?
That's an interesting question.
All right, say that again, Maze. Say that question one more time.
Just say America falls, China picks up. If you invested in China, are you losing or are you gaining?
The banks are always winning. They can't lose.
Mm.
So people are invested rurally. I mean, not only in America, they are invested all around this globe.
Right.
So when one falls, they pick up and make in another place. And
okay.
It's like it's not America currency that's not owned in this country. These companies that's here, like Mercedes, Honda, and all of those are not owned by Americans anymore. They're owned by other people in other countries.
Even the companies that are American started don't care about America. They do business everywhere.
Yes.
Right. So even Hewlett-Packard or Ford, or any company that was started here in America, these companies aren't concerned about the standard of living and the quality of life in America. They're concerned about earning a profit and keep earning profits to give a return to their shareholders.
So that's what I was wondering.
When somebody loses, somebody else wins.
Right, that makes sense then. But you know, I think. Okay, what's all that noise? Keep hearing myself. Interesting. But see, here's this, Maze. You know, I understand your question. I guess the thing be which currency be more valued at that point. You know, if America's
the one that you're invested in.
None of
well,
them currencies have
is
any
that
real
really
value.
True?
The real value is in hard assets. Gold, silver, platinum, fine art, real estate. Or things that are truly unique. You had a hedge fund that spent $2 billion for the Los Angeles Dodgers, when no other baseball team ever sold for over $1 billion before. They just doubled the price of what a baseball team or a high value baseball team. Why do you think they did that? Now these are hedge fund operators. These are guys that make money and have made money by trying to have a gauge on the future. And I guess what they're saying is that a one-of-a-kind entity like the Los Angeles Dodgers is paying this inflated figure for now because they probably feel the currency is going to devalue. And I can tell you that the currency is devaluing because I go grocery shopping, and food's really expensive.
Mm.
Food is way more expensive than it was 5 years ago. Something that used to be 99 cents a pound is now $1.49, 59, 69 cents a pound. Across the board, every little thing, everything that I buy costs more, and all of you too.
Yeah.
Everyone has to notice that.
Hmm. Well, you know what? Everybody who you see, that's the thing. A lot of them aren't noticing. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know. When I say I like to shop, you know, I'm doing price comparison, trying to get, you know, more bounce for the ounce, trying
mm-hmm.
to get the most bang for my buck.
Okay.
I look at the prices and. I don't know. I wonder if you guys noticing that, how much more food costs?
Of course, Mr. Beasley.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, are you still noticing how much money they're giving for gold now? If you have some, they want to purchase it, silver and gold. Why are people going out selling their gold and their silver?
To raise money.
Oh, because they need money, and they just go out and sell it for that purpose.
I'm sorry?
Because of the value of it now?
No, because they're hard up for Federal Reserve notes to exchange for food, shelter, and clothing, and they don't understand how the system works. So they go out and take their gold to these people that stand on the street buying it all up. And then they confiscated it during 1933, and there's talk about them possibly doing that again.
You say possibly doing it again?
Well, like Mr. B said and like I said, nobody knows the future, so, you know, you can draw on the history of what happened before, and there's discussions that, you know, they're looking at confiscating it because they've already passed laws that they can come in and take your food if you've got it stored up.
History does have a tendency to repeat itself.
All the time. And people live through it and came out all right. To tell the story.
Did people really come out all right? Did people really come out all right?
Yes.
No. Not all.
You come out all right for a period of time, but it's kind of like a wound that never really heals. It's kind of like a marriage.
What was the last depression? Real one.
2008. 2009.
Yes, sir.
A whole economy collapsed. Yes,
well, you know what they say.
You had huge banks fail. We're in the middle of it right now.
Yes,
you know what
sure
they say?
We're in the middle of it right now.
You know what they say, Mr. Beasley? For those who still have a job, it's a recession. For those who don't have one, it's a depression.
That's what my granddaddy used to say.
But that is so
and
true.
He used to say a recession is when a recession is when the other guy loses his job. He said the depression is when you lose yours.
Yeah, and the difference between now and then is it was still a rural economy and poor people, you know, weren't affected that much because they had their gardens and they had their land that they could grow food on and their hogs or whatever, and you know, they could maintain themselves. But today, we're all piled up in the cities.
They're growing gardens in the cities, some of them.
I'm talking about
the majority of people.
Yeah, and even then, you know, it costs a farm. You know, you need seed. I guess you need fertilizer. I guess you need stuff to feed your animals, or gas, or gas to put into your tractor or whatever else you need. You know, I'm definitely a city boy. I don't know jack about farming. So I mean, I guess what you're saying was that when the more people lived in the rural areas, that people could survive or exist. They're not really thriving or getting ahead. People could eat. And people technically can eat now. It's pretty hard to starve to death in America.
Yes, because what it tripped me out, I heard the lady say she had chickens in her backyard. She had a garden on the roof. This is in New York City. I'm like, what? In New York City? You found this like out in the South and different places like this, not in New York City. She said that's how she got her eggs and how she do her vegetables and I guess her meat.
Well, you know
she
what?
She said she had a roof and some hens.
Yeah, but see,
I'm like, okay,
it depends,
and this is 2014.
It depends on where she lives at too, Maze. I know it's in New York City, but you know, and how you know, is she living in a low income housing, or is she living in one of the penthouses or condominiums, or you know, or one of them type of well off apartment complexes? You know, I mean, you have to take a look at all that. Now,
well, honestly, what I was thinking about is she was thinking about feeding herself, and not having to worry about all these things. So why everybody else is not catching on that don't know how to do that? She was telling them how to do their garden.
Look,
I'm like,
listen
to her tell people how to plant a garden.
It's not that they don't know how to do it. It's they just don't want to do it. They don't want to put the effort toward it because everything has been made so easy. When you get hungry, you want to cook. What do? They go out to Burger King, McDonald's, or whatever. You know?
Even if you don't want to cook, you can go drive through.
And half the time, look, and you remember some places you ain't even got to leave your house. Just pick up the phone and order it. They'll bring it to you.
I do all that.
See, that's what I'm saying. So it's not, you know, it's not that it can't be done. We just choose not to do it anymore. And that's the difference between this generation and, yes.
You're not eating food. You're eating chemicals in most cases.
You're eating chemicals and you're not buying it with money. I'm not saying you're wrong, but
it's not about me being right or wrong, okay? I choose to look at reality the way it is because to me, is, whether I like it or whether I don't like it, what's going on is going on, period. I'm not afraid to look at what's going on. So, if you go in the grocery store, the only food that you're eating is in the produce department, and most of that has been genetically modified by Monsanto. Now, that's just a fact.
Do you still eat it?
I'm still breathing, ain't I?
I don't know. Do you still eat it?
Am I talking to you now?
You're answering the question with the question, so you're saying you eat it.
There are people who talk about organic food and organic gardens, and the only way you can have organic food is not to plant it in the ground because the ground has been changed by the geoengineering, which a lot of people choose to laugh and not believe in that either. But, you know,
I believe that, but do you eat the food out of the supermarket, the produce out of the supermarket?
I don't have a garden here. I live in an apartment, okay? And I'm a baby boomer, okay? I was raised to have instant gratification, you know? I don't know how to make a cake from scratch. My auntie does. You know, I never had time to. Yeah, so... Yeah, Mr. Beasley, I try to avoid much of it as I can, but I don't think it's possible to avoid all of it. And they're trying not to even label it now. There's a fight about that, whether it's going to be labeled or not, so people know what they're ingesting.
But some countries are taking his food off the market, his seeds off the market, because they're not using them. It's against the law to use them. And so you have you have vegetables coming from different countries where they don't have his seeds.
And that's also, there are some countries that have banned certain products coming out of the United States because they don't want GMO. And there's a case in Mexico where the farmers' land has been infected by GMO seeds because they blow in the air. And Monsanto is suing the farmers because their land got infected with their genetically modified seeds. Oh, that kind of stuff is going on, too.
The president signed a law, I think it was last year, that you can't even sue Monsanto if these genetically modified foods cause you any harm.
Well, wait, why do you think that is, Mr. Beasley?
Because he's the devil.
And did you know that there's 150,000
armored because he's a half-breed, committing suicide because of GMOs
in India?
Really?
Yes, sir. That's been going on for several years now. And why? Because they sent salesmen over there to those poor people, and they told them that these seeds would give them a greater yield. But since they're poor people, they had to use their land as collateral. And when the crops failed and got some kind of, a fungus and stuff on them, they lost everything. So they committed suicide.
So but the America cannot control what go over what Santos do in other countries because they have no laws there. So I guess that's why Mexico banned him from his seed from there.
I'm sure you're right.
And then also, you look at these congressmen, I didn't know half of them been up there for 50 years.
Yeah, they
well,
got 18 around.
Or 25 of them been up there for 50 years in Congress.
What's his name in Detroit? He's been there for 40 years. His wife's in jail for embezzling or something.
I can't think of the name, but Kwame
Kilpatrick.
No, not Kwame Kilpatrick. It's what is his name? I can't even think of his name right now.
Congress.
But I'm saying they've been there for 57 years.
Yeah.
You have no business being up in nobody's Congress. You see why we are where we are today because of the Congress where the bills get signed by the president and passed, and you got some of that been up there older than the president, longer than the president.
It's a cushy job. They don't retire until it's over.
And that's why they don't know what's going on out here because they have been there for 50-some years.
Wait a minute, Mace. Because, see, what we're failing to realize is you can say all that, but you have to realize there's over 1,000 dang-on lobbyists, probably more than that, in Washington, D.C., that's there to push certain agenda. So, I mean, whether it's in Mexico or not, you know, if you got the right money and the right lobbyists, you can get whatever you want done. Who says it's right? Nobody really cares if it's right. But, you know,
you've been there for 50 years, you think you run the country. If you don't been there for 57 years.
Look, if you've been there for 57 years.
You were not trying to make
a change
for America. That's what distorted.
You're right. If you've been there for 57 years, after so long, it doesn't really matter what you say anymore. You just there spending time. It's like being in the military for 30, 40 years. After a while, that's all you know. So you just basically collecting a paycheck. You're really not making a difference, and you're right. But see, the same people continue to do what? Vote them in and continue to vote them in. Why? Because it's the name they know. You know, Eddie Murphy did a movie, Distinguished Gentleman, where he ran for Congress. He had the same name as one of the people, one of the congressmen that had died. So he didn't put any picture up whatsoever, and he just ran on the name. The same name this guy, and he got elected. Nobody knew who he was or anything. So he got up on the Capitol Hill. So, no, those are things you have to take into account for.
Well, when bills get passed or something, I suppose, then. Because they're the ruling class.
They had a city councilman from Los Angeles. He died, but he was the city councilman from the hood, from deep in the hood. His name was Gilbert Lindsay. And he was the city councilman for a long time, like 40 years. And he said, I'm the king of the 9th district. So you're right. That attitude sticks around. I guess you feel empowered. I'm the king of the 9th district. It's all bad. There has to be a bright spot out there somewhere.
There is a bright spot at the end of the tunnel. But some people don't have the patience to get to it.
The name y'all was looking for
that's
was John Connors.
Yeah, Connors.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah, that's his name.
Is there a medium in between being aware of all these things that are going on and not focusing on them and thinking about them all the time where you can have some sense of happiness or normalcy in your life?
Yes, it is. Well, see, and here's the thing about that. You know, you cannot, and it takes, for some individuals, it takes them longer to actually realize that, you know, it's good to have the knowledge and know what's going on. Okay, that way you can prepare yourself. However, some of this, a lot of it is you can get too tied up in it. You know what I mean? To where it controls your life. And as my great co-host says oftentimes, you go down the rabbit hole. You know, once you hit that rabbit hole, it is just like lost, you know, until you realize, look, I got to, you know, come up with a good division between the two of them, between my regular life and getting all this information and not letting it just take over my life. You know, so that's where the division come in. Huh?
Can you be so aware and constantly thinking about all of these factors, from the bankers to the crooked politicians to the it immobilizes you, where you get to the point of like, why even try to do anything?
Look, it's funny because, you know, I when I was eating something the other day and I stopped and I looked at it, I'm like, wow, I already know what I'm eating, but I just got to eat it anyway. Yeah, you know, you know, and stuff like that. You know, I go to a bank and I really look at them. You know, I'm like, do y'all really know what y'all doing to people? You know, so yeah, I mean, it's possible that you can be aware of what's going on and still continue to live, man. I mean, you know, because right now, what other choice do you have? If you try and start your own currency or money, they're going to knock you down. I mean, they're going to put you down. You know what I mean? They're going to come after you. So, I mean, what other choice do you have?
I agree with you.
No, because those are my opinions. But, yeah. Co-host, what you think about that?
I was typing, and I really didn't hear what you said. Can you just plug me in there?
Okay. Ask your question again, Mr. Burning. I mean, Mr. Beasley.
Oh, about can you know all this horrible information and not get down the rabbit hole? Is that where you're coming
right
from?
Yeah, that's it, right there.
I think it depends on the person's worldview and definition of what their life is all about, if they have a purpose other than being happy and feeling good. You know, if there's something beyond that that they feel that their life has meaning, and if they have a mission or a purpose in their life, then I guess it just depends on how a person defines their life and you know.
Hmm. Okay.
That's the way I look at it. We're here, all here for different reasons, different purposes, different. We're all on different journeys. So there's no judgment on my. Because I don't know what somebody else is here for.
But, you know, Sister Ngonya, you go so hard on these Federal Reserve notes sometimes, it makes me think that if you were to buy a lotto ticket and you were to hit the lotto for $200 million, you would get up there and cuss them out. How dare you try to give me this shit? The hell
Mr.
you guys
Beasley,
doing
would,
giving me this crap? I don't want this crap. This stuff is some bullshit anyway.
Mr. Beasley, I would promptly...
It's worthless. Fuck you and this lotto ticket.
Mr. Beasley, I would promptly sign the contract and start distributing the Federal Reserve notes amongst my family first, and if I could help any of my friends with them, if they still had any exchange value, I would certainly use them. However, I would use them with the conscious awareness that just because I happen to hit a windfall of Federal Reserve notes, it doesn't make me any better than anybody else, and it doesn't make me own anything, so I wouldn't be living in an illusion. That's all.
That makes sense. I like that. Well, hold on. Let's bring Wesley in. I'm sure he has a very interesting point of view on this question that we asked. Mr. Wesley, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, God people. Yeah, I'm down here in the dirty south getting ready to prepare for another storm. But to answer your question, Mr. Talk, since we all know this fiat currency is about to crash, and you asked what should we do about it? Remember you asked that question?
Yeah.
Well, the reason what we should do and what we have to do is go back to the bartering system, i.e., I trade my corn for your wheat. I trade my services for your goods. I'm an electrician, and if you are an auto mechanic, I do some electrical work, and how many hours it takes me to do what I got to do, and then you return the favor by doing the work for me. And that's the way to get out of this.
Okay, okay, Wesley, I understand that, but here's my question to that, all right? With that being said, wouldn't that kind of eventually send us back to slavery if you're not careful?
Well, we already in slavery now, man.
Well, you don't play, Wesley. Don't play.
What, bro?
You know what I'm
what?
Talking about.
You know, we already slave. That's what a mortgage is. It means you're dead and you got to pay it. Right, Ms. Negroma?
No, no, no. Wait a minute, Wesley. You've gone to a whole other side. I'm dealing with what you said, the bartering system. Okay,
right.
I'm dealing with that. And you said you barter your skills out, correct?
Right.
Okay, so let's say you inherently work up a big bill that you can't pay off. Now, you've got to do servitude or indebtedness to this person you owe, right? So it means you got
right.
to work for him and you pay this bill off. Now, let's say it's such a lot of money that they wants to continue to add interest to it. So now you got to continue to work for years and years, which is what? Slavery, basically, because you are working directly for them, right?
No, that eliminate interest. Say if I do 2 hours worth of electric work for you,
no,
and then you do 2 hours of auto mechanic for me, no interest.
No. Okay, that's not going to work like that, and you know it. If that's the case, I'm sure somebody had thought about this already and then realized, no, that may not be a good idea.
Oh, Mr. Talk.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, go ahead. Oh, I don't want to interrupt. Brother Wesley was going to say something. How you doing, Brother Wesley?
Oh, I'm doing all right, getting prepared for this fake snow again. But you can go ahead, Mr. Gomer. Go ahead and interject what you had to say.
Well, I was just going to tell Eric that this is already happening. I mean, around the Internet, there's been people that have offered, they have land and, you know, they have access to land in the rural areas, and they'll invite people to come and work on their land. So it's already happening. There's, what was that woman's name? She used to work for Bush. She used to work in the, what is her name? It'll come to me in just a second. She has an organization called Solari. She's an investment advisor, and she goes around to communities helping people to, you know, make better use of their Federal Reserve notes or the resources that they have. And,
mm-hmm.
and she advises them, instead of investing in corporations that are doing harm to the planet and doing harm to the people, she shows them how to use their resources to invest locally to build up their communities. Now, her name will pop in my head in just a minute. But she was making the point that, and she's from Tennessee, that there were so many people on food stamps in Tennessee, and in order for them to call and get any assistance regarding their food stamp account, they were talking to people in India. So she suggested that, first of all, why did they,
J.P.
Right. Morgan running food stamp program, but she was bringing up the point that why when there's need of jobs here, did they export that kind of responsibility out or subcontract that out or what do they call that? Whatever, you know what I mean. Okay,
the
so then she
jobs
went,
in what year?
Outsource.
That's what it calls outsource.
Yeah, but that is just so crazy.
Yeah. Now and then she went further to make the point that, well, since they have outsourced the jobs, we got all these people on food stamps, well, we need to put them to work because there's plenty of land down here in Tennessee where they can be planting food in case of the collapse. So they're already thinking that. And I have seen Stefan Molyneux interview some professor, and I was amazed. It was like an hour and a half, very dry interview, but at the end they were openly talking about re-enslaving poor people.
Mm.
I hope all of you realize the collapse. The collapse already happened.
Well, no, Mr. Beasley. Yes, technically you're correct. When the stock market crashed. Well, when I say collapse, I'm talking about there's no trucks coming with any food. The power is shut off. The water's turned off. That's the collapse I'm talking about. And you got tanks on the street.
The collapse is already happening.
It just
takes a while for the reverberations for it to get to that. Our economy is so sophisticated, okay, that there can be a total financial collapse and the infrastructure and those things still work and still operate it. And the way that they've dealt with this collapse is that they've basically printed more money. They bailed out.
It was in the rural county. They was doing in the old days, the people that was going to the doctor, and they was paying the doctor in chicken and eggs and all that. And I tried that with my doctor up in Atlanta, told him I'd bring him a chicken. He started laughing.
Some pay their doctors with cash. They don't want no insurance. And they pay less money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're not getting anything anyway, so they take patients and they pay money, like the Hispanics do it when they go to the doctor or the hospital.
They prefer cash. They get paid. Yeah. They get paid quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Give you a big discount.
I mean, I'm not understanding when it's sales of the crops. Now, you have the migrant workers come over here every summer and work, and then they go back home. So, and then when they down in the south, they ran them out to Maryland or somewhere, and then they didn't have anybody to do the work, and then they let them come back.
Good.
I don't have an echo because I don't have my phone. I don't have my suit on.
So you got an echo, Ms. Mays. But I tried without insurance. My doctor charged $82. So I told him if I show up there at his office without insurance and pay if I do $82, I want him to do a house call and bring the finest nurse he got. House call for $82, man.
All right, y'all hold on for a minute. All right, y'all, we got about 13 minutes left in the show. So if you want to continue to hear the show live, give us a call, 347-838-8622. Because after 13 minutes, if you're not on the line, you will stop hearing it live. Of course, the show will be archived, so if you missed the last part, go back and listen to it because it gets crazy after the regular time. All right, so, Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Talk, I wanted to share with Mr. Beasley and anyone else that might be interested, there's a documentary on YouTube, and it's entitled The Collapse of Argentina. Argentina has collapsed 3 times.
Right.
If somebody wants to know what a collapse looks like, I'm not talking about the kind of collapse Mr. Beasley is describing. If somebody wants to know what a collapse looks like, they can look at that documentary.
Yeah, they had 500% inflation at one time.
Didn't they say in Argentina, that's what Hitler was supposed to escape to in Argentina? Did y'all hear about that?
I heard that. I don't know if it's true or not.
I don't know. I don't know about that one. Not at all.
No, Argentina's had huge currency devaluations. You know,
so what is the currency down there?
I'm not sure. It's not very valuable. Or that's what happens all over when you have government in charge of printing currency that's not backed by anything.
Mm. Okay. So I guess we're back to the initial point that we were talking about. If you don't have a government, your currency that's backed by the government, it eventually becomes useless, right? So
highly inflated.
Yeah. So, but we say ours, we have a government that's, well, the Federal Reserve that's printing money constantly, you know, to make to keep the economy going. However, our government backs this. So I'm not understanding, because on one end you have disaster. On this end, the way we run, they actually are saying we headed toward disaster. So what is the fix for all this? What is the middle ground there? How do you keep one from crumbling and one from heading to disaster? How does that work?
Eric,
how can we do that? Yes, ma'am.
You can't. You don't have the power to do anything about that. If you think about World War II and Germany, when they were forced to make reparations, you had to literally have a wheelbarrow of German marks to buy a loaf of bread, okay? If you look at what happened in Russia when Russia collapsed in 1989, see, they don't tell people the truth about these things. They hide information from us. Millions of people starved to death in Russia and in Germany.
And that's why the people was in the streets of Egypt, because the price of goods was too high. That's why they hit the streets in Egypt, man. So the bread
they were having
so high.
75% of their income was required to get food. I think they said 70 or 75% in Egypt. That's why they were rioting.
You can hate America as much as you want to, but the people that pull the strings, they're good enough with the smoke and mirrors that at least there's food around.
Well, like I heard they did something to make the price of milk and dairy artificially low. I think that's what Obama just signed the other day, to keep the price of milk down, because if not, milk supposed to be about $8 a gallon.
They send in radio waves to those cows.
Okay.
Well,
all right. Go
you ain't
ahead.
Heard about
go
that?
No, I haven't heard about that one.
We ain't heard about
hey,
that.
Hey, Brother Wesley.
Hey.
Is Brother Wesley still on the line?
Yes, ma'am. I'm still here.
When the shite hits the fan, you'll be in demand. Don't worry about it, brother.
Yeah. That's right. Well, thank God I got a trade, man. When I get through, I say, let there be light. I don't say, let there be jokes. When I get through wiring up something, I pop a switch, and then let there be light, and it was light, and it is light.
Oh, okay. Wow. So, let's see. So, Wesley, and basically, you know, because as soon as I get me some more land, I'm going to start planting my own. So, have you started planting your own yet, or... You know,
I'm waiting for the weather to warm up, man. It's supposed to be snowing, but I did have a garden last year with some greens, and I had some tomatoes. Cut a hole in the bottom of a 5-gallon bucket, and take you on top to Turvey and grow you. Put your tomato plant in there and grow you some tomatoes.
So do they know how to plant?
I had a girlfriend that grew carrots on the tub on the balcony. In a plastic tub, and she planted carrots, and carrots came out of there. Pretty amazing.
Cucumbers, tomatoes.
I was shocked.
Collard greens, anything you want in the bucket with water.
Yeah. Taking pictures of that first tomato I grew, man, I thought that was almost like a woman having a baby, man, when I saw that tomatoes growing.
All right. Interesting. I just thought I'd ask, you know, because we often talk about this, and, you know, it just amazes me. And sometimes we be talking about things, but are we actually practicing them ourselves? Well, hold on. Let me bring Ebony in.
I ate my last greens about a week ago. I ate my last greens for Thanksgiving, man.
Oh, okay.
And it's almost time to harvest again, and you'll be ready for the next year, won't you?
Amen.
There you go. Hold
That's
on. Let me bring
it.
Ebony in. Hello, Ebony. How are you doing today?
Hi, Mr. Talk. Hi, guys.
Hey, Miss Emily. How are you? Hey.
I'm good. How is everyone? You guys good?
Well,
do you tell
your friends in the UK? You're like, oh, I know lots of people in the
hey,
US.
Hey, Evan,
I talk to them all the time.
In the UK, I went to jail for these.
No,
I
try not.
You heard about that, Evan?
You don't brag on us.
Hold on. Too many talking at one time.
Right, I got a serious question for her, man.
What's the question, Weston?
I read on the news where some guy went to jail in the UK for dumpster diving for some food. He was going from dumpster to dumpster in the UK, and they locked him up for that. That's a true story. I saw it on the news on Russian TV.
Okay. Russian TV?
And the BBC. I saw it on the BBC also.
You saw it on the BBC? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, if you saw in the BBC, then, yeah, it's likely it could have happened. Yeah.
And you were just trying to get something to eat out of the dumpster.
Well, people do that all the time, try to eat out of the dumpster.
You know how much food they throw away in this country?
Yeah, there's a lot of food that's thrown away, and you're not even allowed to take food that's thrown away and eat it. Health and safety risk to the company. So if you go outside McDonald's, you'll see a lot of food that's thrown away, but not to pick it up because they'll arrest you for it.
Because, you know, and that's interesting.
It's been heated and reheated, and if you get sick and die from it, the company can get sued.
They should have a clause. If it's in the dumpster and you eat it, you go and try it on your own reconnaissance, and they should be exonerated for that lawsuit.
But see, here it is, Wesley. If they're going to do it, all right, number one, instead of throwing it out, Take it to a homeless shelter somewhere, a soup kitchen. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. Give it to the homeless. Mm-hmm. You know, because a lot of these restaurants where they are, they have, you know, homeless individuals that frequent all the time just to stay warm sometimes. Understand what I'm saying? I mean, if you're not going to use it and you know it's going to throw it out, feed somebody.
That's right.
You know, well, now, I know somebody,
like
business-minded person said, well, then that'll run up the food cost. No, because you're throwing it out anyway. So it's not going to run up the food cost. No more than it's going to be anyway.
That is a
solution to it. Like all these buffets. Now, I don't know how many y'all got in the UK, Ebony, but I know here we got plenty of buffets. You know, what do they do with all that food after they close down? Because you know
they freeze it and bring it back. That's the reason that you take
it. Hey, Maya, because some of that stuff doesn't taste so good anymore.
No, it doesn't.
They can't freeze and bring it back because they have to be at a certain temperature, and if it drops, they have to throw it away.
Yeah, they do, but
and that's why they don't want people to eat it.
Yeah,
okay, so
I don't trust eating.
So the temperature drops, they throw it in the dumpster, and the people go in the dumpster and get it anyway. Duh. Really? Give it to them.
They can't do nothing to them because if they get sued, they went out there and got it.
Are you understanding my point, Maze?
Yes, I am, which would be
okay,
right.
Yeah, I'm just wondering.
If everybody did everything right, America would be perfect.
No, America would never be perfect. I'm not even going to go that way.
I said if. If it's too much like right.
Okay. I mean, that was just an idea.
If we all be drunk, and if was a fifth, we'd be drunk.
If was a skiff, we'd be sailing.
Okay. Galactic scientists say a utopia. That's interesting. So, Ebony, how's the economy over there in the UK? Y'all having any issues, or are y'all dependent on what we do here?
It's actually recovering a bit. I have to say, I'm at the moment, I'm about to come to the end of a contract. And although I had two jobs last year, I mean, one's going this year and at the end of March. And today I got offered two really good offers work in one day. So I'm feeling a little bit blessed tonight, I have to say. Because, you know, that doesn't happen very often, that people just come along and suggest that, you know, here's some, let's do some work together and that's going to help me to stay afloat to the end of the year. And so, yeah, you know, I think it is getting a little bit better than it was. And in some areas, you know, there's definitely recovery on the horizon. But in other areas, people are still, you know, poverty is still a big thing here. And, you know, some people are struggling. I guess it just depends on the level of skills. And if you know, those people who've been on welfare forever, you know, it's so hard to get back into the workplace. And even if you're out for a little while now, you dare not step out for too long because, you know, getting back in isn't easy. It's hard. There's so much competition. So, yeah, you know, that's where we're at. That's where we're at.
Did you say welfare, Ebony?
Yeah, people on welfare here.
It's basically the same way that it is here.
Yeah.
There was a housing crisis here. There was a housing crisis there.
It was there, yeah. But,
that's
Ebony,
right.
I have a question. Why were they, about the Olympic Games, why were they having a fit about the little skit that they did?
The little what?
The skit that they did on the opening game for the Olympics.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, little things, you know, things create drama. And normally, the interesting thing is most people in this country just take it with a pinch of salt. They don't really care too much. The problem was here that there was a big backlash against the amount of money being spent on the games, and people worried that when the games were over, local people wouldn't benefit from the way that, you know, all the money and the investment that was coming in. But, you know, what we have seen is a lot of housing. Where the Olympics was, is now a real big, massive housing estate. So they've built a lot of houses on that on that ground. So people are benefiting. And there's a bigger sports stadium nearby. And, you know, there's a number of things that have come out of it that have been good for local communities. So people during time, there was going to be a lot of talk about, you know, misuse of funds and a waste of this and a waste of that. But when it's all over, they shut up as long as people get something.
Aren't the Summer Olympics coming to London in 2016?
Yeah, we hear that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to Brazil.
Well, I don't know. We hear all sorts of things. If it's
no, they've already
Brazil,
decided for 16. It might. I think it's Brazil. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's going to Brazil.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Well, Brazil's a nice place to visit. It's a nice.
Yeah, that's the same thing happened in China too. They built all them Olympic Village, and like in Russia, they moved all the people away from their town so they can show the good side and then show the poor people. And that's the same thing in Russia and in China. They did the same thing.
Now, Mr. Tuck, you can catch a hop and go visit Ebony in Brazil.
Yeah, I sure can.
I'm going to see Ebony.
You know what? My friend who lives in Bermuda was dating a girl on Facebook who lives in Brazil, and on Friday they got married after dating, doing this global thing for about a year. They got married on Friday. So I remember seeing that. Yeah,
well,
they got married.
There's a lot of black guys leaving America going to Brazil, so they tired of these American women. And they go to Brazil
to
get my wife, man.
Mm-hmm. I know one. He said he was going because it was cheaper to live over there than here. It wasn't about the women.
Well, I mean, let's really. Yeah, I mean, if you look at, you know, the boob tube long enough, you see a commercial. You see a commercial with them advertising Brazil as the place to come live. So, yeah, I mean, that's not new. You know, I guess people just beginning to realize or take the option and go in there. That's fine if that's what they want to do. You know, there's certain individuals on my show that call in all the time, and that's what they say. You should get out of America. You should leave. So, hey, that's the opportunity.
My niece just spent a year studying in Brazil, and she spoke Spanish, but she learned Portuguese. She said if you spoke English or if they thought that you were American, that you would get robbed right away.
They'll rob you if you speak English.
She'd rob right away. So she had to. Mm. She just told the people that she was Dominican.
Mm.
Wow.
Anything in
a lot
Jamaica
of different places that happen.
Keeps in Jamaica, too. They know if you're American, you're going to have big money. They're going to rob you before you rob them.
Wow. They're going to rob you before you rob them.
Yeah.
I think that depends on what area you're in, right? Not just all over Brazil.
She said she saw little kids,
yeah,
10, 11 years old, jumping on a white woman and taking her things and running away, and nobody really did anything.
Well, they say the children over there hooked on crack, man. 19 years old, they come up to you smoking a pipe with them crack rocks in them, man.
You got some of them here like that, Wesley. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Never seen no 9-year-old smoking crack.
Yeah, come on.
She's been in the favelas. She said all kinds of things go on. There's people with machine guns, and they got drug gangs, and I don't know how she navigated it there, but she survived. She did it.
But see, here's the thing. Yeah, y'all saying it like it's something new. We got the same thing here. Except for it's just not as prevalent or where you can walk on the street and see it, but we got the same thing.
Well, you might see 9 and 10 years old over here selling it, man. I mean, trying to make it. They might be selling it because they know they can't get no time.
We have poverty here, but it's not that type of poverty.
Now, there it is. There where the rubber hits the road.
It's real hardcore poverty where there's no safety net, there's no food stamps, there's no Section 8 housing. There's nobody with nothing to help loan or give you. And the people that do have, you know, they want to be as far away from the people that don't have.
But I think Brazil are nationalizing oil where people over there getting oil subsidies, but I think they market them busts now. And so, but before, when they were nationalizing their oil, they was like Venezuela where they was giving people stipends that live over there for the oil that they were selling on the market.
Well, I mean, if you're a citizen of Alaska, you get a siphon every year, or whatever they want to call it. You know what I mean?
But I heard in Alaska, they oil wells is drying up, man. So a lot of people that was getting money not getting much as they used to get because they reserve is drying up.
Hmm. Well, I don't know about all that part of it, but we'll see. I mean,
you can look it up on the internet, Mr. Talk.
I mean, okay, all right. Just like my co-host has told me quite a bit of times, you can't believe everything on the internet.
Yeah, it's always the pro and the con on everything.
Yeah.
Hold on.
So.
Just like y'all brother, what's her name? The one that Tanaka. I went on his website and I just put it like that. I went on his website.
You didn't go join up and cut your finger and become his blood brother and get on the commune?
Well, when I saw his grocery list, man, I mean, it was a little bit too exuberant for my income right now. I might bottle something with him. I might be do some bottling.
No, I think he's the head of his own little nation out there. I've heard him talk a number of times.
Look at the grocery list, man. I hate to dish my brother like that, but just go find out for yourself.
Well, yeah. Don't be dissing my brother. That's a homeboy. We ain't going to be beating up on my homeboy now.
He's the wrong one to beat up on.
I had to put him out there like that, but maybe I could work with him sometimes.
All right.
All right, y'all. I respect him. I may not want to go his path, but he's dedicated to what he hasn't changed his tune in the time that I've been listening to him.
Yeah.
The police don't mess with him when they catch him driving with no license plate and no license.
Yeah, but I like to see a video of that, man. He needs to put some videos up, man, of when the police stopping him, man. You see what I'm saying?
They probably don't stop with them no more. They probably know him. They're like, I'll leave him be.
Mm-hmm. Probably. Yeah. I tell y'all what, next time I go home, I'm going to hook up with him. I'm going to get a camera and we're going to ride. And I'm going to see.
Yeah. Maybe put one of them tags on your car and ride with it.
No, we're going to be riding in his.
Riding in yours.
You're going to be that mean.
That's not being mean. That's smart. I still got to have something to ride back in. Shoot.
Come on, Eric. Get your Escalade. Y'all riding your Escalade.
You said you don't
want to
be a guinea pig.
Shoot. No, I ride with him and see firsthand, but I'm not using my vehicle.
I think he has his own sovereign group down there. He has a community.
Yeah.
They have about three or four blocks somewhere in the outside area of whatever town he's from there in Florida, and that he controls and runs that town. And they have a real community going on.
That's Duval County, man.
I just told you about how expensive groceries are.
Well, that's
like the Ouachita people too in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
It's about nationality.
Right. He has his own thing going on. His own nation. His own group of people. And he's the leader.
Well, I hope you don't get caught on like Malachi York did in Georgia now.
Framed him
up.
Say what?
They framed him up.
Yeah, they did.
Did they? They framed him up.
Some women lied on him. Some women and some girls lied on him.
Mm. Okay, I'm not even going there.
Well, why did he plead guilty then?
I don't think he pled guilty, man. I don't know if he did or not.
I watched him plead guilty on YouTube.
Well, Mr. Talk, why do you think he wasn't set up? What did he do wrong?
No. I didn't say that. I was just saying, why did he use women to set him up? And I said, I'm not even going there. No. I mean, I don't even know who the guy is. So I was commenting on the part that Wesley said they use women to set them up. And I'm like, well, that's the easiest way of doing it if you're a man, anyway.
Yeah, they find the weakest link now. Whatever you're susceptible for, whatever you love, they'll turn it against you somehow or another way. That's why all these black politicians or whatever, people in power, that's why you always try to keep your nose clean if you black and you're out front or if you're not out front. But they're going to come at you, man, especially if you're doing something good.
Well, you know, it just depends on how far they're willing to dig, go back. And you know for sure they go way back if they can get you.
Yeah, they go
if
back.
They really want you.
They all the way to Africa. They'll find something. They check your DNA.
I always say this. Either they're going to discredit you. If they can't discredit you, they're going to try and destroy everything you got. If they can't do that, they're going to kill you. Those are three options. You know, there's nothing in between.
Huh? What are you talking about, Mr. Todd?
They'll get your people to do it for them.
Well, yeah.
Or you can play ball.
I'm talking about the establishment, Sister Ngoni. The establishment.
Right. Oh, okay.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So they tried to dig up dirt on Dr. King, saying he was a guy here with a fraternizer with more women other than his wife. They were trying to frame him up.
Yeah, he might have been. I mean, he's a man.
Well,
right.
You don't know that for a fact now.
Well, there's
no,
also...
I don't know it for a fact, but it's
not a secret.
That doesn't negate his good works.
Yeah, I mean, look, let's think about it. He was a man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
He's human.
More,
I mean, that's not saying it was okay, but really? You know, and like
yeah.
Mr. Beasley say, you know, hey, he didn't stop what he did. However, there are some historians that tells a side that nobody else has heard of as far as him being a spy on the black people, too. And what happened was, I think, when he started, he was good until he started talking about blacks having their own economy. And that's when things started going south, haywire, rather. That's when he could no longer be tolerated. Yeah, as long as everything
is going
everything
was fine. Are
talking
about them having their own economy or keeping their own economy?
Having their own. You know,
because they already had their own economy.
No,
you
not
are.
All. No, not to the to
it depends on where
extent.
You were.
Yeah, exactly.
And plus, he was talking about reparations, too.
Okay. Okay. You keep waiting on them reparations, Wesley. That's all I got to say about that.
I didn't say I was waiting on that. I said Dr. King was talking about that. I didn't say nothing
okay.
about me.
All right, I'm just saying,
because,
you know, there's some people still walking out there, and that's what they're talking about. Man, when they going to give me my reparation? When they going to do this? Okay, you just keep waiting on those guys. Just keep waiting.
Eric,
you'll get them eventually. Yes, ma'am.
Have you ever Googled the history of reparation payments?
Googled the history of them? Nah.
Mm-hmm.
Nah.
You can get them. Japanese got them.
Not only the Japanese. And did you know that Haiti was made to pay reparations to France for whooping their behinds?
That's right.
Okay.
You're right.
Okay.
And a lot of the Eskimos and a lot of the indigenous peoples that are called indigenous people have been paid reparations. There's a history. You Google the history of reparations and you'll see everybody that got, some of them got land, you know, and so there's been a lot of. But I agree with you that we're not going to get them because we're not a nation. We integrated. So we can't.
Mm-hmm.
See, only nations get paid reparations. We're not a nation.
Right.
I think if you can trace your DNA back to being on somebody's plantation.
They gave up their nation, and they also gave up their name in order that reparations started up on them.
Who did?
Who gave up their name? Who?
The Negro.
Well,
reparations
was
not to give
who,
up
who,
was not asked upon who? To black people.
Wait, hold on. Who was the Negro? What Negro did that?
What you say?
Well, how do we give up our nation?
Look up reparations and see when they filed a suit for reparations. It didn't just throw it now.
Well, Dr. Claude Anderson got a suit for black people called the Freedman Bureau. He got paid. No, he didn't get paid yet. He's some. I think look up the 1866 treaty with the Black Freedman Bureau.
Black farmers. I mean, the black farmers.
I'm talking about the black farmers. I'm talking about the Black Freedman Bureau, 1866 treaty. Look that up and see what y'all get.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Even if they say, okay, yeah, we're going to give y'all reparations, don't you know they have it tied up so long in court, most of those be dead before anything really happens?
Well, most of these no-growths, if they give it, it'll be gone in a day. Yeah, they're going to get it right back to the Cadillac man and TV man.
You know, it's funny, but it is funny because you sure telling the truth on that.
It'll be gone in a day.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I heard somebody say once that if you were to take all the wealth from all the wealthiest people in the world and give that wealth to the poorest people, that in 6 months, the wealthy people would have the once formerly wealthy people would have all the money again.
Sure would.
Why is that, Mr. Beasley? I've heard
because
that
you have cousins fighting and don't want to do this and won't do that and help them get
back. You know how y'all black people got to get your nails did and your toes did and your Cadillac did and some shoes. Y'all to get right back to them.
Yeah, you really want to know why? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
go
asking.
Ahead, Mr.
I could speculate why. I mean, I guess there's a lot of factors to come into play. People have go ahead.
Hmm. I'm gonna tell you the reason why. It's a lot of factors, but here's the main one. They don't have that money they were given making money. That's how the rich people gonna get it back because their money is still making money. You see what
that's
I'm saying?
Right.
So we just spend it.
Right. Because we haven't been educated on how to.
Educate yourself on that. I understand what you're saying. Using money, right. Using money as capital, as a resource, instead of as something to, instead of looking at it as a consumer.
Yeah. We had a brother call in the other day, Mr. Solution there. He had the perfect plan there.
No, so who?
What's his name, Mr. Solution? What's his name, Mr. Solution?
Your boyfriend.
Really had a perfect plan.
The man that got a crush on you.
Yeah, Mr. Solution.
You'll be broke. You'll be broke giving him some flim-flam and we ain't know where it went. If you're teaching somebody, if more people taught their money sense and how to work for them and not work for it,
or Mr. Solutions,
get reparations.
I admire Mr. Solutions. He is so smart and well spoken. But I'm going to tell you guys something real quick. I heard him, and I'm going to call the names out if it's all right.
Because
I don't like talking. I don't like talking in riddles where you got to figure it out. Is it all right if I just call the names out of what I witnessed the other day on a different show? Or if you don't
on
want me to do it,
show?
I won't.
Nah,
no,
that's
Mr.
all right.
Mr. Talk don't want me to do it. I know he doesn't like gossip.
Well, I heard
drama.
No,
it was,
you're not doing
all
that.
Right, well, I'll say it in code. I won't call names out. I heard him on another show where it's mostly white folks, and he was explaining things about class and race. And he's doing it to a bunch of simple white folks, right? And he likes hanging around these simple white folks. And they attack him left and right. And someone calls in and asks him a question. And before you know it, this person that asked him a question is calling him a nigger.
All right, Mr.
Real
B.
loud,
right.
Repeatedly. And there's about five or six white people.
I got to let him go for that one. He got
yeah,
to
thank
it.
You. I appreciate it. Hey,
yeah,
Eric, and y'all,
it was
an investor, a fake investor came to Eddie Long Church like last year and was had some of Eddie Long members to give them your money for investment, and come to find out the dude was a charlatan, and he took the people money, and damn, Eddie Long wouldn't back up the people and get their money back. They had to sue that guy to get back some of their money, man. It was church women, man. A bunch of church women and some dudes got hoodwinked like that.
That's, you know what, that's not surprising. It's really not. That is not surprising, you know. But, oh, well, we learn eventually, hopefully. All right, Mr. Beasley, you understand why you got shot, right?
Yeah, that was an accident. I didn't even think.
Well, Beasley,
yes.
When you find people like that, they say what they want them to say to make them happy. That's what I call those kind of people that go amongst them and put their own people down and do stuff like that.
But I just don't understand. I don't understand why he puts himself in that spot.
Because he thinks he's alone.
Instead of coming over here and talking with us, why he's putting himself in that spot. You know, what does it say? You're throwing your pearls to swine? Because he's a very smart man, and he has a lot of information. And they resent him because he knows more and he's more skilled verbally than them.
Right.
And that's what they resort to.
Mm-hmm. Well,
he'll be back again.
And the person that does the show set him up for that.
Yeah, well, you should know that.
And acts like that's his friend.
Okay, hold on. All right, enough of that. But the bottom line is, that's nothing new, Mr. Beasley. They've been setting us up for years, and we've been falling for it left and right.
Right,
so.
To stop. It bothers me enough to mention it when I see it happening.
Right, there you go.
That's following the black race.
That's why I'm speaking on it.
All right. Just see, there you go. We finally got it out.
And I got shot because of it, but oh well.
So you were suffering from the illusion of inclusion then, basically, huh?
Basically, that's really what it is.
All right.
That's exactly what it is. But when it comes down to it, they throw you under the bus real fast, and everybody runs over you.
That's right. Go ahead, Mr. Beasley.
No, I just it burned me up, and it made me, you know, sometimes I speak of, you know, we're all one people message and this and that and the other, and then I see how these folks really act and the way they did him like that. There's no defending it. And they put me on mute because I was going to cuss them all out.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, that's the way they do. Like I said, we are not all one people, apparently. But all right, y'all, it's 21 minutes past the hour, and, you know, it's about time for me to get up out of here. So we're going to go ahead and let everybody get their last words in, and we're going to start with Ebony Empress.
Oh, I guess I lost in, that's why. I just wanted to say, I think it's interesting how our communities can, you know, I'm reading someone's message on Facebook where this guy's saying, most women wish for a husband, but most oftentimes find men who don't wish to be one or a father. Clearly, we are not all on the same page. There are a great many men who wish not to be a husband, who wish not to be a father. They just want a friend with it. Now, my question to you, ladies, is if I'm one of those people, what would your response be to me? And I thought, what the hell? So I sent him a response, which is, go date a hood rat and leave decent women alone.
Oh, my goodness.
That's my final words. You know, sometimes that's what people need to do. Go find someone who shares your views and, you know, and enjoy that. And leave people who don't share it alone. If they want commitment, leave them alone.
All right.
Those are my final words. Not about your show, but just as I was multitasking, I just thought I'd share that. I just put that on my Facebook group as well. I just hope people agree. If they don't, then, you know, I want to hear this. So, yeah, ask me. Enjoy connecting with you guys. Have a great evening, everyone.
All right, you too, Ebony. See you tomorrow.
Thank you. Same to you.
All right. All right, Mr. Wesley, where you at?
Yeah, great show there, my people, and the Ebony. It is what it is. There's more women than men, and y'all women still dropping them draws there, and it's all good. You got to work with your bottom lips instead of your top lips, and y'all know the deal. Well, we men are simple. All we want is our belly full and our balls empty, and y'all quit talking so much. That's it.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Wesley. That's a very interesting point there. All right. Okay. Here's Maeve.
With that, we had a nice conversation today, and it was nice. Calm.
Well, yes, it
and
was.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I got to
and
say.
That's it? Oh, okay. Yes. Thank you, Maeve, and we see you tomorrow. All right, y'all. that was the crew today, and that was the conversation. Great conversation, really was. But I got to add something to what Wesley said. Besides that, you know, I got to have my brain fed too, okay? Not just emptying everything. I got to have my brain fed too. I can't be sitting around talking to the walls and the walls and just talking back. And, you know, I just can't have that. Of course, the walls do talk to me sometimes, but that's a whole different story. You know, but but anyway, sometimes that's what we have to do. All right, co-host, another good show. I'm telling you.
I'm here.
A nice, easy conversation. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Amazed to get that right. So any final words and let the people know how they can get in contact with you?
The email is ngonea@yahoo.com. Please put Mr. Talk on the subject line, and I'd be happy to reply if you care to correspond. And thanks, everybody, for coming and enjoyed the conversation. And that's it for me, Mr. Talk. Oh, do me a favor. Say your email, because I'm having struggling with my inbox. I'm trying to send you something. So it's okay. ericletstalk@gmail.com. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. All right, y'all. Well, we talked about so many things today, but it's all good. It's all good. We may not be one people, but we should be one. But as long as we got those individuals out there that want to say derogatory things and crazy things to each other, it is what it is. That's all I can say. That's about it. All right. Well, here it is, y'all. Tomorrow's show is going to be a humdinger. I already know. So make sure you come ready for bear. Have your armor on and everything else, because we're going to be talking about, is the Bible credible? Yes, I said it. And that's the question we're going to be asking tomorrow. Is the Bible credible? So I'm new. I'm looking for a knockout drag out on this one. I don't know why, but I see it coming. So that's the show tomorrow. All right. Just remember, keep smiling, show appreciation. Forgive with an open heart. If you haven't forgiven yourself, there's no way you can forgive anyone else. And the biggest and best thing, learn to laugh at yourself. If you can laugh at yourself, you can laugh at anything. All right? So let's go do it for me, man. Till tomorrow, 12, oh, my goodness, 2 Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, and 1 Mountain Time. Y'all have fun. I'm out of here. Talking about